hope. You know, I think of how that a lot of people today look on different problems and it look their things look hopeless. Looks like I can't do anything with this. I don't know how to fix this. But you know what? God is the God of hope. And so when things look dark and dreary, look to God. Maybe you have problems in different ways. We talk about our problems sometimes it's in different forms. Sometimes it's financial problems. And sometimes it's relationship problems. Sometimes it's death and grief. And those things make you things look hopeless. But you know what? God has the answer. God gives hope. You know, I'm so happy that we don't have to be bogged down by the things that happen in our lives that don't seem to go right, because we have a God in heaven that loves us and cares for us, and he has hope. The devil will try to make us feel like there is no hope. We can't do this, we can't do that, but he's alive from the very pit of hell. He wants people to feel like there is no hope. He wants you to walk around with your head down and feel like, I can't do this and I can't do that. I don't have strength to do this or that. But you know what? There's a scripture in the Bible that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And this hope that we have is not just for the old people. It's not just for the adults. It's for the children. Do you know there are children today that sometimes do not feel like there is hope? They look at their circumstance. They don't know what to do with it. And they lose hope. But God has hope for every one of us. He loves his creation from the least to the greatest. I appreciate having the opportunity to know God and to know that although things may not be exactly like I would like them to be, that there is ever hope in God. Let's go to Hebrews. We want to look at Hebrews 11 and 1.
It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
I want us to stop just a minute. How can we have hope when it looks like everything is hopeless? We need to have faith in God. This gives us hope. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Do you have some things you hope for? Do you hope for salvation? Do you hope to go to heaven? Do you hope that God will work out your problems? Look to God. Have faith in God. Because he offers us hope. We don't need to get down. We don't need to, you know, today is kind of a dreary day. And those days kind of look like it just kind of make your hope look not so bright. But on the other hand, when the day is bright and cheery, look like you got a lot of hope. You feel like you can go and do this and do that. But you know something? Whether it's dreary outside or whether it's sunshiny and everything going your way, we can have hope in God. Let's go also to Hebrews 6, and we're going to read verses 13 to 20.
For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, and I will bless thee, and I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which endureth, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
You might say, well, I don't quite understand this. What it is that God made a promise. He made this promise to Abraham. And he could swear by no greater, because there's nobody greater than God himself. So he could swear by himself. And he made this promise. And it says, he wanted to show the immutability of his counsel. That means, and I looked that word up so that we could understand it, is not changing, unable to be changed. When God says something, he will do it. It cannot be changed. And so he made this promise to Abraham. And not only so, but these promises are unto us that we can have hope. We can, you know, sometimes people will promise you things. They won't keep it. I don't know whether they even intended to keep it or not. But God's not like that. He cannot lie. When he says something, he will do it. There is no changing of that. So we can count on what God said. We can look into his word and know that what he said, he will do. And we can stand on that. We can say, well, I believe it. God said it. I believe it. And it is so. Let's go to Romans 4 and read verses 17 to 22. So when we have a feeling of hopelessness, look up. Don't look around. Don't look at the problem. I think about Peter as he was walking on the water. He said to Jesus, if it's you, bid me come to you. And Jesus said, come. And he got out of the boat and started literally walking on water. But what happened to him? He started looking around at the waves, started doubting, and he started sinking. We don't need to doubt. When God says something, we can get right out and stand on it and walk on that and depend on it. Let's go to Matthew, Romans. Who has
Romans
that?
4 and 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom ye believe, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believeth in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God.
Listen, who is this? This is Abraham. God told him he was going to give him a son, and he had to wait on it. But when it came time, he was almost around 100 years old. But he didn't stagger at the promises of God. He didn't say, well, I'm too old now. I had the promise when I was younger, but now it can't happen. No, he was firm in his belief in God. Go all the way to 22. The next.
And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness.
Today, if we believe God, it will be imputed to us as for righteousness as well, knowing that what he has promised, he is able to perform. If the Lord said it, it is so, and we can count on it. So we want to be encouraged. Never give up. Never give into hopelessness. Never feel like my case is hopeless, because that is not true. That's from the pit of the devil that likes to make people feel hopeless. Why do you think the devil likes to make people feel hopeless? So they can give up. Some people take their lives because they feel hopeless. But that is, we don't have any excuse to have to do that, because God has provided everything for us. We have no reason to give up hope. All we have to do is believe God. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 1 and read 20 to 22. I'm thankful that I can count on the Lord. And I don't have to, if other people let us down, we can still count on the Lord.
For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him are amen, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ, and has anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts.
Did you hear that? All the promises of God are yea and amen. It's not iffy, you know, maybe. It's not. It's yea and amen. When the Lord said, it is firm. And there's no changing of that. And so we want to just be encouraged to lean hard on the promises of God. Let's go now to 1 Peter 1 and 3. God is not a man. He cannot lie. What he says he will do, he will do.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Look at that. We have a lively hope. We can. That's why we can shout when we want to. We can praise God, because our hope is live. It's not dead. It's not dreary. It's not something shaky. So I thank the Lord for this lively hope. And this lively hope comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's read John, St. John 6, verses 35 to 37. Oh, I praise God for this lively hope. When everything, you know, I'm a person that I like positive stuff. I don't like negative. And people come telling me negative things. I don't like to listen to it. I like to listen to the, remember, do you remember Brother Busby's song, Look on the Sunny Side of Life? He used to have that song for the children in his little children cassettes. Look on the sunny side of life. The devil wants to, this war is killing all these people, and we know these things, and we should pray for them. But then we don't want to get bogged down. Sometimes people get bogged down on who's going to be the next president. And they just, they're back and forth. This one is that one, the other one. But, you know, we shouldn't let those things, political stuff, bog us down. We should just look to God. We're going to need him, whoever gets in there. And whatever they laws they pass, I know that we need to pray for our leaders. And I'm not saying that. But I feel like that this has bogged a lot of people down, just the political environment that we have. But we don't want to do that. We want to keep our eyes on the Lord.
St. John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out.
Do you need salvation? Do you need to give your heart to the Lord? He said here, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know, sometimes people say, my case is hard. I don't think the Lord can do nothing with my case. Yes, he can. Even I know you deal with people in the jails, and probably many of them feel like it's hopeless, feel like, you know, I've just done too much and I can't, you know, there's no way out for me. But, you know, if only they could get a hold to the way out is Jesus. Romans 5:1-5. There's a song in our song book that says, have you any hope within you of a life beyond the grave in that sweet and vernal land? Do we know if this our tabernacle were to be dissolved? We were a house not made with hands. Do you know that this our tabernacle is our body? If this dies, we can have a hope beyond this world. You know, one scripture says if about he that happens, I can't get it together. If only in this life we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. We need to have a hope beyond this life, that if something happens to me, I will go to heaven. And we can have that hope because Jesus has paid the price and he's done everything, and God himself has given his best. We talked about that during Christmas time. He gave his son, which is the best that he could give for our salvation, that we might be saved, that we may have hope beyond this world.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope making not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Yeah. We have this hope. We don't need to be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of this hope. It's a wonderful hope. No matter how somebody might look at me and say, oh, you this, you that, and you not this, and you not that. But I have hope in God. And my hope is so bright that no matter what people say or how they feel or how they look at me, I can still have hope. Oh, I just want to express how wonderful this hope we have in Jesus Christ. Jesus has paid the price. He has made it possible for us to have hope. I want somebody to read Deuteronomy 7 and 9.
Deuteronomy 7 and 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commitments
to a thousand generations. God is the same God that was back in Abraham and Isaac's day back in Moses' day. He has the same power today as he had then, and he keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations. That gives me hope, knowing that the promises that God provided back in Bible time, we can still take a part of that and be rejoice in it. Now we want to think of how do we partake of this hope? We partake of this hope by entering in to a covenant with Jesus, with God, by entering into his salvation, by allowing him to make a change in our lives. If we live for him, we can stand on the promises of God and have hope in what he says he will do, that he will. Let's go to John 3:16. You children know that scripture, John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Do you know that? Do you know it? Come on, let's say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. You see that? This is hope. This is the hope we have. Because God Almighty, the God of heaven that made this world and made us, sent his Son here to die that we might have hope, that we might have eternal life, that we might have everlasting life. How I appreciate this God that's so wonderful, that loves us so much, that did so much for us. You know, sometimes, you know how parents, we feel for our children. If our child comes and they've been out playing and they hurt their knee or something, they come in crying, it hurts. You know, we hate to see it. We don't like to see them, their busted knee, busted lip, or something like that. And we want to do what we can for them, right? We'll get a Band-Aid. We'll wash their little sore place off and bandage it up, and we'll take them in our arm, and we'll love them and give them kisses and say, it's going to be all right. Do you know, I think about God like that, that he looks at us, his creation. He loves us. Just like women, ladies, we love our children, and men love theirs too. But he wants to take us in his arms. He wants to shelter us from the devil's mean tricks. And he wants to carry us like the mother carries the child. When the child is sad, the mom just puts him right in her bosom and she just loves him up real good. The same way is God. God loves us just like that. And he wants to make us have hope. He doesn't want us not to have hope. He doesn't want us to walk around down and feel like everything is worth me, but he wants to carry us. And so I think about that. When you say that scripture say, for God so loved the world, just like we love our children, God loves us, that he gave his only begotten Son. Can you imagine giving the only one? He gave his only begotten Son. None of us would want dare to think about giving up our only son. And if we had 10 of them, I don't have one. I have children and stepchildren. I don't have one of them I want to give up. I don't have one of them I want to let something happen to them. I want God to take care of them. Well, he's that way with us. Not one of his little ones does he want something to happen to. So he gave his Son that whosoever believe in him should not perish. He doesn't want them to perish. He doesn't want us to perish, but that we should all come to repentance, but have everlasting life. Now let's move on. Let's go to Titus 2 and 13.
Titus 2 and 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
We can look, huh? Looking for what? That blessed hope. And the great, read that again.
Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
That's what we have. We have a blessed hope. And one of these days, he's coming back. And he's going to take us with us. In Romans 15 and 13 said, now the God of hope fill you with all joy. Look at that. He wants you to be happy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. He wants you to have so much hope that you abound in it. You just every day is a hopeful day. I'm just happy because of my hope in him through the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, we want to be encouraged. I'm hoping and trusting that the Lord will bless us to have hope and not be in a hopeless state, not feel like there is no hope, because there is. Let's go to Romans 12 and 12.
Romans 12 and 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer.
Thank the Lord. We can rejoice. Hope gives us something to be happy about. If somebody asks you, how are you doing today? You can have a answer, I'm fine. I'm blessed. Brother Jerry likes to say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I think that's his saying. So we're too blessed to be stressed. If we have stress, let's cast it on the Lord and have hope. Let's rejoice in our hope that the Lord has given us. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and read verses 4 through 8. But we need to give our heart to the Lord. That is how we're going to have this hope. We need to ask God to forgive us for our sins and ask him to come into our heart and make us a new creature. When we do that, things will turn around for us, and our hope will be bright as a sunshiny day. It's all it takes is to accept the great gift that God gave us of his son. Accept him into our heart, and our life will just be so full of hope. We might be in pain with the sickness, or maybe don't have as much food as we'd like to have. But you see, when you are in these kind of situations, God will be right there with you. He can take away the pain. Many times you have to pray and he'll take away the pain. Or if you have need of food or something, we can ask God. And he will supply our needs and give us what we need. Anybody have that? 1 Thessalonians 5?
1 Thessalonians 5, 4 to 8. But be ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunk are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet, the hope of salvation.
You see, when you give your heart to the Lord, you're not going to be as in the night. Back in before you get saved, you're walking in darkness. You're in the night. you're not doing the right thing. You're displeasing God. And therefore, you don't have this hope. But when you repent and when you give your heart to God and when you come to Him and get saved, because when you repent of your sins and you give your heart to the Lord, He comes in your heart and He saves you. Then you have a bright hope then. And you don't have to be as, you don't walk in the same way that you used to do. The old person is changed. The old person that maybe tell lies and steal and do all kind of wrong things to other people, talk about people wrong, mistreat others, fight, argue, all of those is the old way. But when you give your heart to God, He comes into your heart. He makes your heart so beautiful. You're no longer in the dark life. You no longer tell stories. You no longer do the wrong things, because you have Jesus in there now. You're all cleaned up. So we'll be of the day and not of the night. Let's go now to 2 Thessalonians 2, and we'll read 15 to 17.
Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work.
See, when you give your heart to the Lord, He gives you hope. And He established you. You're not wishy-washy anymore. You're dependable. Sometimes when people are not, don't give their heart to the Lord, they say, I'm going to do better. And then they fall back into the old ways. But when you give your heart to the Lord, He established you. And He gives you strength to do the right thing. And even He keeps you, too. He gives you keeping power. So it's a wonderful thing. I just can't even express how wonderful it is to be saved and to be able to have hope and not be cast down. The enemy of our souls wants to cast us down, but God doesn't. He wants to lift us up. I think John 10 and 29, Jesus came that we may have life and that we may have more abundant life. He came that to give us hope. I can imagine that before Jesus came, people were just doing all kinds of things which they do today, but they don't have to. The difference in then and now, they had the can't help it. But today, we don't have to have the came help us because of Jesus.
St. John
10:29.
My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand.
That means that when you get saved, God will keep you saved. Nobody can pluck you out of Jesus' hand. Jesus said that my Father gave him to me, and he keeps it. No one can pluck him out of my hand. Also, He will help you. We can have hope in His help, in His that not only in this life, but in the resurrection. He will be able to present us faultless until to the judgment. Let's go. Our last scripture is Jude 1:24.
Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
See that? We can have hope that not only now, but even when we die, we will have been kept faultless until the time to go. So I want you to be encouraged to look to God, who is the God of hope, he has hope for us. Never let any thought of hopelessness be in our heart or in our mind, because God has provided everything for us.